Somebody shout amen. Take a look at Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Look at our text verse. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Wait a minute, the heathen are raging. They're imagining all types of vain things. The kings of the earth, the rulers, the presidents, the rulers, and they take counsel together against the Lord. This doesn't sound good. And against His anointed. And then they get together and say, let's break their bands asunder. Let's bust them up. Cast away their cords. But the Bible says, while on earth, we're going through tribulation. While on earth, we're crying, feeling the pain of all this. The Bible says in verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. We cry, God laughs. It's got to be a reason. But we cry, and God laughs. And the Bible says the Lord shall have them, he's talking about the heathen now, he shall have them in derision. So I'm going to speak to you tonight on the subject, we cry, God laughs. We cry, God laughs. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 45. So turn there and hold your place. And I'm going to pray. And then we're going to read those verses. And then we're going to preach just for a few moments. Father, help me tonight to help. I love the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you. Every time we read its page, we read it 1,000 times. But each time you speak to us because the book's alive. These aren't just preserved words. These are preserved, inspired words, and they're lively oracles, and they speak, and they preach, and they talk to us, and they discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And this is not just another book in a library of thousands of books. These are your breathed words. God, talk to us now, please. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Turn to Genesis chapter 45, and let me read something to you here in the first six verses here, please. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all men, all them that stood by him, and he cried, caused every man to go out from him, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptian, the house of Pharaoh, heard it. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither be earing nor harvest. Take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 50, please, in verse 20. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, the Bible says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, talking about his brothers, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, I want you to underline that little statement, to bring to pass, as it is in this day, to save much people alive. Joseph is talking about his brother selling him into captivity. And Joseph has been sold by his own brothers, you remember, as a slave. He was taken to Egypt, where he had eventually risen to the second in command in all of the nation. And you remember that a famine took place, and back where his brothers and his dad were living, and it was an awful thing. And his brothers came to Egypt to buy food because of the famine in their land. And so they had no idea that Joseph was alive. Had no idea at all. They thought that he was dead. They sold him into slavery and thought he was dead. They didn't know that he had risen to the number 2 spot in the nation. And when they met Joseph, they didn't even recognize him as Joseph. And they came to Joseph asking for food, not knowing he was their brother. These are they who were going to kill their brother years before. But then they decided to make some money off of him, decided to sell him to make some money. Now, Joseph cried. No doubt about it, Joseph cried. There's no doubt, if you can imagine your brothers, if you're young and tender in age, and your brothers sell you. They try to fake your death, and they sell you. Joseph cried. Joseph cried when he saw his brothers, and his heart was overcome with emotion, and he cried. But then when I go to Psalm 2 and I see people rise up against God's people, that the Bible says that God laughs. We cry, and God laughs. You say, why does God laugh? He sat in the heavens and laughed. Why? Because he knew how it would turn out. Now somebody shout amen. And here we sit and we cry and we bemoan what's going on. But the Bible says that God sits in the heavens and he looks down. He sees the heathen raging. He sees the battle against God's people and how that even the kings would get together and try to bust up God's people. But the Bible says that God sits in the heavens and laughs. Pharaoh, you persecuted God's people. Pharaoh, you built the brick factories and you initiated hard labor for God's people and brought heavy burdens on them. But the Bible says, and jot this down please, Exodus chapter 1 and verse 12. But the Bible says in Exodus 1:12, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. God's people cried, but the Bible says that God sat in the heavens and laughed. You go ahead and attack God's people and all you're doing is pruning their trees with your raging storms of persecution so they can do more for God. And Pharaoh thought for sure he was going to kill the little race of people, but all he did was cause them to multiply, the scripture says. So God's people cried, but the Bible says God laughed. Psalm 2 verse 4, it says that God is laughing. It says that he puts them in derision. Now circle that word derision, which means they become the object of his laughing. The object of his laughing is the enemies. Your enemies tonight are the object of God's laughing. God's mocking them and laughing at them. And you are sitting here tonight with all the struggles that you're facing. And you cry. And some of you will go home tonight and cry yourself to sleep tonight. And some of you cried yourself to sleep last night. But you're God's child and you're doing the best you can do with what you've got. And I say to you tonight that the authority of the scripture that while you cry, God laughs. Why? Because he knows the end of it. Example, when Joseph's brothers sold him to the Israelites, Joseph was crying, but God was laughing. God was laughing at Joseph's brothers. They were the object of the derision. God was saying, if these dumb bunnies just knew what was going to happen. That's what's happening. He's laughing at them. They hold them in derision. And he said, if these idiots just knew that how, and God held them in derision, and God laughed at them and caused all of heaven to laugh. As long as there has been God's people, as long as there's been God and his people, God has taken the evil and wicked intent of the heart of man and the life of man and worked it out for the good of God's people. Somebody, I'm going to pause while you say amen. I don't care how bad you think it is tonight. How many are saved on your way to heaven? Wave it at me. I'm telling you now, you're God's child tonight, and I don't care what the enemies say at work. I don't care what the enemies say in your neighborhood or in America about Christians, but I say to you tonight that while you cry, that God laughs according to the Bible. The truth is, it just ticks God off. Have you ever had one of your children picked on the neighborhood by a bully? Now, as a dad, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not very happy about it. And you know what? You're not going to allow it to happen. You'll march right down and rap on the door and say, Dad, I need to talk to you about your son. Now, I say to you tonight that we're God's children. He's our father. I'm his child. Somebody help me now. I'm God's child. And I say to you tonight that when the devil picks on me, that God is not happy about it. And God is, forgive me for saying it, but he's ticked off about it. We're in Texas. We can talk like that. And God laughs at the evil intent. And God laughs at the wicked deeds. And God laughs at those who hurt God's people. The angels laugh. Those in heaven laugh. And to them, it is a sitcom. To them, it's a comedy. To them, it is dumb to go against God's people. I could just see the angel in heaven say, that idiot. Doesn't that idiot know what God is going to do to protect his child? I can see Gabriel up there going, what in the world is the matter with Joseph's brothers? Those idiots. God is going to come to Joseph's side. And these guys are going to be starving. And these guys are going to need some help. And so God looks down and takes care of his own wicked men and wicked women and evil men and evil women who think they're hurting God's people and hurting God's church and hurting God's men are the butt of jokes in heaven. You look like Barney Fife with your one polished bullet and to God in heaven. That was funny. I wish you'd have heard it. You look like the Three Stooges act to God in heaven. You look like Abbott and Costello to God in heaven. You look like the Little Rascals to God in heaven. You look like Red Skelton to God. Boy, I'm dating myself now, aren't I? And you look like Danny Kaye to God in heaven. You look like Milton Berle to God in heaven. These are all evangelists from Louisiana. And God looks down and says, you dumb-looking, dumb-acting people. And from heaven's perspective, he looks down and said, don't you dare pick on that bus ministry. Don't you dare pick on that soul-winning church. Don't you dare pick on that soul-winning Christian. Don't you dare pick on that young person going to Bible college trying to prepare his life for full-time ministry. God said, don't do it. Hold it while it's going on. You don't see God and you can't hear God and you don't know what God's doing. But God is in the heavens and God is laughing. The angels are laughing because they know that God is going to make it turn out right. How about a scripture? Hebrews 12:1. Are you ready? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of what? Witnesses. Greater cloud of what? Witnesses. Does that mean that they're watching what we're doing? You better believe it. We went to a volleyball game Friday night, sat in the stands and watched the volleyball team. And the volleyball team won, by the way. And they're undefeated, by the way. And the football team's undefeated, too. But we watched that. And we sat in the stands. Now, we weren't on the court. If we'd have been on the court, we would have won it quicker. But we're sitting in the stands. We're not involved in the game. We're not involved in the football game. We're not involved in the volleyball game. But we're cheering on what's going on. Now, the difference between that, we didn't know the outcome. You didn't know the outcome over there when you was watching that volleyball. We was hoping. We was pulling. But I say to you, when it comes to life and when you have witnesses looking at you, I'm telling you, God says to those witnesses, don't worry about them. God is saying to those witnesses in heaven, don't worry about them. God is saying to my dad in heaven tonight, don't worry about your boy. Don't worry about him. Yeah, oh yeah, that church may go through some turmoil, may go through some tough time, but don't worry about your boy, because I know exactly how it's all going to turn out. And I tell you, if you go to the end of the book of Revelation, you'll see how that Satan loses and we win. And it's just a matter of running the score up. Somebody say amen. Now I say to you tonight, and it's important for you to understand that while we're here under this derision, God laughs at the evil. God laughs at the wicked deeds. God laughs at the insults of God's people. God laughs at the attacks. God laughs at the emails. God laughs at the internet. God laughs at the fundamentalist forum. God laughs at the critics who get on there and talk about this church and this preacher and talks about all soul winning churches and fundamentalists. God laughs. God laughs at them because God knows at the end, when it's all over, we'll see some more soul saved. We'll see some more people kept out of hell. And one of these days, God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You stood by the stuff. You took it and kept on going for God. God knows the end. God knows the end. Got a call from the Chicago Tribune, and they said to me, I understand when Brother House was alive, and he was going through his battle, and they said, I understand you're the national spokesman for Jack Hiles. And I said to him, nobody speaks for the man. The man speaks for himself. I don't speak for him, not at all. I'm not a spokesman at all. Well, they said, well, you're a young rising star in fundamentalism. Oh, to be called young again. And young and so on. And aren't you afraid that if you don't distance yourself from Jack Hiles, that when he goes down, you're going to go down? I said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever dawned on you? He said, what are you going to do when Jack Hiles falls? I said, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do when he doesn't? Is there anybody here tonight? I said, what are you going to do when he doesn't? By the way, that same reporter, the Chicago Tribune, got fired because he lied in his articles and he got fired. Now, I say to you tonight that Jack Hiles' greatest days were after those controversies and those battles that took place, and he had more people saved and more. Come on, somebody help me tonight. When Sumner did what he did in heaven, God laughed and God put in derision the object of anybody that fights. Don't tear down the fruit trees. God said you go in the land of Canaan, you cut the trees down, but don't you cut those fruit trees. And you better leave a soul winning church alone, and you better keep your mouth off it, and you better keep your keyboard off of it, better keep your emails off of it. And I say to you tonight that God, the Bible says, sits in the heavens and laughs at the evil, and laughs at the wicked, and laughs at the insults of God's people. He cracks jokes. That's what the word laugh there means. He cracks jokes. You who do not like my humor, and I'm more godlike than you are because I joke, but he cracks jokes. They are the butt of the jokes. And God says there's a great cloud of witnesses. Well, I think God turns around the great cloud of witnesses. Let me tell you something. And I think all of them in the ground. Is anybody listening to me at all tonight? Quit letting your mind wander and fix yours on the sermon tonight. And I believe God turns around the assembly as witnesses in heaven. I'm over here. Wake up. Thank you. And says to them, let me tell you something about that. And I believe that all of them laugh. Because God said, see what those brothers are doing down there? And he said, let me tell you what's going to happen. So he tells you what's going to happen. And then they laugh. I say to you tonight that God knows the end from the beginning. And God sometimes looked down and said, did you see that? Did you see what they're doing to him? Hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, witnesses. One day Joseph is going to be, he's going to be the ruler. He's going to be the second command. And let me tell you, and those boys down here that are selling him right now, guess what? They're going to have to come back, and they're going to come back begging for food from him. And that's what's going to happen. And I say to you tonight that God looks down at what you're crying about tonight and what you're worried sick about tonight. And God says to the witnesses, let me tell you how that's going to turn out down there. Let me tell you how it's all going to work out down there for God's people. Let me tell you how it's going to work out for LBT. Let me tell you how it's going to work out for the pastor. Let me tell you how it's going to work out for that bus captain. Let me tell you how it's going to work out for that little widow. Let me tell you how it's going to work out for that woman whose husband walked off and left. I say to you tonight, there's a God in heaven, and that God knows exactly how it's going to turn out. God looks down and he says to the enemies, you look like a buffoon. And he says the witness in heaven, look at there. There's Curly, Moe, Shep, and Larry. Look at them. Look at them. Look at those stooges. He looks down and says, look there. There's Freddie the freeloader. Dating myself, aren't I? And God just laughs and laughs and laughs and causes all of heaven to laugh at your expense, at your experience. And God in heaven looks and said, if they just would trust me. If those people who are weeping right now would just look heavenward and just trust me. Hey, Joseph, being sold by your own flesh and blood. Joseph, it's all right. Look up here, Joseph. Look to heaven, Joseph. It's okay. And I say to you tonight, it's going to be okay. How many are saved on your way to heaven? Woo, child, it's going to be okay. Let me tell you something. You let the rapture take place. Our stock market's going up, I'll tell you that. Think about the congratulations of those who live through it and get to heaven and see it. And say, this is what this God says, this is what I had in mind. Hey, think about this just for a minute. Write this name down, D.L. Moody, and then look at me. Think about this. The congregation who refused to ordain D.L. Moody. They refused to ordain him. They wanted nothing to do with this fanatical soul winner. So that small group of little Napoleons voted as an ordination council not to ordain D.L. Moody. Heaven broke out into laughter. Heaven just belly laughed. And in heaven, God laughed when that ordination council walked out and those little Napoleons and said, I make a motion, we do not ordain this Moody. Because this Moody has done nothing but bringing a bunch of little snotty-nosed kids, street urchins, off the street and ruining our church. And we don't need somebody like that in the ministry. I believe when that happened that Moody cried. I believe when that happened, Moody wept. I believe Moody had a heart and he wanted to be ordained and he wanted to win souls and he was winning souls. But I believe with all of my heart that in heaven they shook their head and they laughed. And God just said to the witnesses in heaven, hey, y'all calm down. It's okay. Let me tell you, it's all going to turn out all right. Somebody shout amen. Put your name in there. I tell you tonight that God knows how it's going to turn out. Heaven broke out into hilarious laughter. I mean belly laughing. I mean slapping the knee type laughing. I mean laughing so hard they cried. Laughing so hard their sides ached. Laughing so hard they almost had to go to the bathroom. I mean laughing so hard. I don't know where that came from. Who was the brunt of their jokes? That ordination council who were so proud of their vote and who led the laughter God did to hold them in derision for what they had done. Now get the picture. Here's D.L. Moody who would someday take Europe in one hand, America in the other hand, straddle an ocean and shake both continents for God. Appearing before this ordination council unable to answer their first question. Folks, that's funny. Get the picture. God has placed his hand upon D.L. Moody and they voted him down. Now, everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. I am not going to preach to you. Not you sleep on me. And I'm just not going to do it. Don't make me come back and slap you. Now, bless God, I know I'm just as tired as you are. Now, somebody say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Now, sit down and keep it up. Put your eyes on me and pay attention. Get the picture? There's D.L. Moody. God laughs and laughs and laughs and laughs. A committee. Can you imagine? Huh? All over America, committees meet to determine God's will. Brother Howes used to say a committee is a group of the unprepared who are unqualified to do the unnecessary, who read the minutes and waste the hours. Someone said that a camel is a horse assembled by a Baptist committee. I would imagine that man, D.L. Moody, was voted down that night. He walked away in sadness, but up at heaven, God was laughing and telling jokes. And the butt of those jokes was that ordination council. Let me give you another one. You ready? Write this down. Write this name down. Write down Spurgeon. Spurgeon. The London Baptist Association, made up of most of his preacher boys. Most of his preacher boys, he only had 7 votes for him to stay in the association. They kicked him out. Voted him out. Hundreds voted against him. Hold it. On earth, Spurgeon, these were men he had trained, and these were men who were pastoring, and they're part of the association. They got together and voted Spurgeon out, kicked him out. Can you imagine? He walked the streets that night weeping. Don't you know he wept that night, and Spurgeon cried. But in heaven, God laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed, and he said, "Let me tell you what's going to happen to Spurgeon. Spurgeon, that 19-year-old kid, is going to be the prince of preachers." So he tells the witness in heaven, let me tell you, he's going to be the prince of preachers. Let me tell you, he's going to affect for dozens and dozens and hundreds of years later, his preaching is going to be put in print and it's going to be used and over again. And what an impact he's going to have. I tell you that we cry. It's ironic to me that we cry and then God laughs. Joseph, idiot brothers. Pharaoh's idiot brothers. Moody's idiot ordination council. Spurgeon's idiot association. And on you could go with those who find themselves. Let me give you another name. You ready for this one? Roloff. Lester Roloff. Right now, Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff got kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention. He had a radio program one time and found out that the station that he was on, that the building was owned by the Southern Baptists, and they had a liquor, they were going to lease it to a liquor store. So he gets on the radio and blasts the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptist Convention comes along and kicks Brother Roloff off the radio and kicks him out. And guess what happened, though? It wasn't but a few years later, he raised enough money and bought the radio station. You know the people that left this church 27 years ago and said there's Ichabod on the door here and walked out of here and said everything in the world about this church. Hey, there's been 1 million souls saved since then. I'll tell you, there is a God in heaven. Don't you ever write off a church that wins souls and keeps people out of hell. Somebody shout amen. Man, these 29 years have been everything in the world that could ever be said and tried to hurt. But I tell you tonight that God keeps blessing and people getting saved. Write this name down, Jack Hiles. Jack Hiles and Joe Boyd. The Dallas County Baptist Association voted out. Criswell voted against Jack Hiles. Just like Spurgeon got voted out of the London Baptist Association, they got kicked out. I was with Brother Hiles driving on 360. Is it 360, 365? I forget. Going into Dallas there. 365. Anyway, if you look off to the right as you go by, there's the association that voted Jack Hiles out. It's right there on your side. You'll see the associational building there. And we're driving down there. Brother House said, exit here. I pulled off the exit, pulled up to the building where it was the Dallas County Association. I said, what are you doing? He said, I want to write him a thank you note. Got out of the car, got a note, and he wrote, "Dear Association, thank you so much for kicking me out in 1957. It's been the best thing to ever happen to me. God bless you." Left it on the door. Is anybody here tonight? No telling how many thousands of souls Joe Boyd's had saved and Jack Hiles. And if it wasn't for them, there wouldn't be the independent fundamental movement right now. And the King James Bible wouldn't be alive. If you left it up to some leaders in fundamentalism, you'd have a dead book there and you wouldn't have a live book. But thank God Dr. Hiles took a stand and said, "That's inspired." Somebody shout amen. I say to you tonight that when we cry, and I'm talking about when you go through something and I go through something, that God looks down and sees the end of it, and God laughs and says, "It'll be okay, child." I remember Elkhart, Indiana, sitting in the car. I preached on a Sunday morning in an associational church. The state associational missionary showed up that afternoon, met with the deacons. And I came in to preach that night, and they said, "You'll not be preaching here tonight." I walked out. I didn't know what was going on. Well, I sat in the car. My wife and I sat in the car, just a kid. And I sat there and I cried. And I said, "What's going on?" And so finally, the state associational missionary came up and tapped on my window, rolled the window down, and he said to me, "As long as you run with Jack Hiles and Lester Roloff, you'll never preach in an American Baptist church again as long as you live." And that associational missionary said, "I'm sent here from the association to tell you that you either break off your association or you'll never preach in an American Baptist church again." Now, you have to understand something. I thought I died. You have to understand, Mrs. Gray and I sat in that car. Your mother and I sat in that car and cried. And when we drove off, I said, "That's it. I'll never preach again. I guess that's it." And I wept and I cried. And it was hard to drive home that night. But I tell you tonight, and please listen carefully, while I was crying, God was laughing. And God looked down and said, "American Baptist, do you realize that this church is baptized more than the Southern Baptist Convention in the state of Texas, all of the churches put together? Do you realize tonight that in 1 year this church will baptize more than the American Baptists have baptized in a decade, in 10 years? Do you have any idea at all the impact?" And I say to you tonight, please, somebody ought to be shouting amen. I'm bragging on Jesus tonight. I'm bragging on God tonight. And I say to you that you who sit here tonight and you cry and you think it's the end of the world, it's not the end of the world. Not at all. If you'll do what is right, God will laugh and he'll hold them as the object of derision. I say to you tonight, when you're persecuted, you find yourself in serious trouble. Joseph's brothers did him a favor. Listen carefully now. D.L. Moody's ordination council did him a favor. Spurgeon did him, the London Baptist Association. Are you listening to me? Did Spurgeon a favor. Jack Hiles, the Dallas Baptist Association, did him a favor. They did Joe Boyd a favor. The American Baptist did me a favor. Best thing in the world. I'm not an independent Baptist by conviction. It's eviction got me. And I mean, they just kicked me out. My local church voted me out. I was gone. That's it. I ended up in a little old independent Baptist church in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Walked in there, and I didn't know what an independent Baptist church was. I didn't know you could be. Boy, oh boy, they did me a favor. And tonight, you sit here tonight, and when you cry, I don't know what it is about, I don't know what's going on in your life, but when you weep tonight, you remember something, that whoever's attacking you, they're doing you a favor. Because there's a God in heaven, and that God in heaven is, let me give you some points, we're going to get out of here. Are you ready for this? Hey, I've this name, write this down, I almost got away from it. John R. Rice. John Rice, the Tarrant County Baptist Association voted John R. Rice out, did him a favor. How about this name, Lee Robertson? I don't know if you know this or not, but the Hamilton County Baptist Association voted Lee Robertson out. Voted him out. Kicked him out. He ended up running a church of 10,000 with 1,000 missionaries around the world. Not just preachers, but 1,000 missionaries around the world. I say to you, they did him a favor. Look, let me give you some thoughts here. Number one, the end is already known by God. So please tonight, would you please write that down? The end is already known by God. God already knows the end, Brother Cronin. God already knows the end, how it's going to work out, Brother Arrington. God already knows. He knows the end. He knows exactly how it's going to turn out. And so I say to you tonight that when you come and you find yourself in a position and you find yourself weeping, and some of you come to me and said, I don't know how we're going to make it tomorrow, and I don't know how we're going to get through this. And I say to you tonight, you make it. You're God's child. Son, as long as you're coming to church, as long as you're reading your Bible, and you're tithing, doing what you're supposed to do, you're living in the land of Goshen. And I promise you, God is going to take care of you. Now, I say quickly, number two, when we talk about the end is already known by God. Number two, we have to follow Him by faith through His Word. We have to follow Him by faith through His Word. So He knows the end. We have to follow by faith through His Word. So how are we going to make it to the end? Pick up that book and read that Bible, and then you take the next step. If God said, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together, then take that step. God says, you give tithes and offerings, you give tithes and offerings. God says, go soul winning, you go soul winning. God says, whatever, you go to work and work hard and earn your money, then you do that. You stay honest and clean and holy and righteous and say, do that, and one step at a time. And I promise you, if you'll do that, what's going to happen one day, you're going to wake up and it's all going to be over, and God knew it from the beginning to the end, but you got there by faith, by following His book. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Number three, the Holy Spirit is your guide on this journey. The Holy Spirit's the one that when you take that step and fear grips you, it's the Holy Spirit that encourages and comforts you. You take that next step, and boy, you get saved, and you go to church, and all of a sudden your family says, what's the matter with you? How come you don't drink with us anymore? Why don't you come to the Christmas party? Why don't you do this and do that? But wait a minute, by faith, I believe the Word of God, but I need encouragement. I need strength. Where's it going to come? The Holy Ghost of God. I take that next step, and I take that next step. Oh, God, talk to me. And then the Holy Spirit of God strengthens me so I take that next step. Look, you fellas who walk the hallways out here, and there should not be the same ushers outside. It should not be maintenance people outside. There should not be anybody outside, because you need the preaching of the Word of God, or you'll backslide on God. You'll quit serving God. You won't be worth shooting, because you need strength in order to be able to make it. And I say to you, God knows the end. God's already got it taken care of. You're going to be okay. What should I do? Get the Word of God. I need my instructions about what I should do as I go through life, and I read the book and I obey and do what the Bible says and I obey. But as I go, I need encouragement so the Holy Ghost of God lives in. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He lives in you, so He comforts you. He's the paraclete. He comes alongside and picks you up when you fall down. He gets you back up again and gets you back on the road. He's the paraclete. He's beside you, and He helps you and encourages you. The last point, and I'm through. Listen carefully to this. Finish your course. You say to yourself, I started down there. I got saved at age 11. I spent 15 years in Old Dead American Baptist Association. But all of a sudden one day, my eyes were open. And I said, wow, I've got a purpose now. I've got a purpose now, keeping people out of hell. I understand it now. Now, what am I supposed to do? I've started on a course. And Brother Bob, there ought to be, I've got the Word of God to take that step right there. I've got the Holy Spirit to encourage me. Every once in a while, I ought to lift up and look to the end of that thing and say, bless God, I'm making it down there. I'm finishing my course. Now, it's not my race, it's my course. The race is not over yet, but I'll tell you, stand up, Brother Arrington, down there if you would. I say to myself, okay, I've got to do this. I know God knows the end. I've got the Word of God, and I've taken one step at a time. I need encouragement. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, help me. Strengthen me. Talk to me from the book. Please strengthen me. I need power. I need comfort. I fall down, He picks me back up. I go astray, He pricks me and puts me back on the way. But every once in a while, I'll lift up my eyes and look down to the end. I love what John Rawlins said, standing behind this pulpit. He stood a wrecked old man, and he said, I'm just going to finish out of pure stubbornness. I love it. I love it. Brother Bob, I don't want to get down here and then have my grandchildren looking up and saying, what happened to Paul? What happened to Paul? You don't want those who look up, and by the way, they do look up to you, to say, what happened to Dad? He said he loved God. What happened to Mom? She said she loved God. She had us read the Bible. She took us to church. We sat in the pews together. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. You took your eye off the prize. Listen, you get on it. God knows the end from the beginning. Thank God He'll take care of you. Thank God you got a book to help you right here. Thank God you got somebody inside cheering you on. But every once in a while, you ought to lift up your eyes and you ought to say, I'm finishing. I'm finishing. I'm not going to get halfway there and fall out. And I'm not going to get three quarters there and fall out, because I've got little ones behind me. And I've got to finish my course. I've got to finish it. 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 Now, I promise you, if you'll listen, we cry, God laughs. But don't reverse it. Don't reverse it to where you laugh and ha-ha about the things of God and then God cries. You got one life to live. That's all you got. I'll be 63 in a few days. Get your pen out. December 18th. Write that down. I expect presents from all of you. I'm going to be 63. I'm only promised 70 years. That's all I'm promised. Now, my mama's 95. I hope to be persecuting the saints for many years to come. I got one life to live. That's all. That's all. And don't come to me and tell me how tough it is. Don't even talk to me. I went to college the first time single. I went to college the second time. I married a wife and four kids. Don't you single boy, don't eat. I'll come back here and slap you right now just thinking about it. Don't even talk to me. Don't tell me how rough it is. Don't tell me how hard it is. Don't even tell you lazy, no good, low down. Get married and have four kids. And besides that, get a dog. In fact, get a cat and a dog. Got one life to live. You cry because you're going through it and God laughs because He sees the end. But don't reverse it to where you're ha-haing on God. Hey, no, when you go to work, nobody knows, do they? Nobody has any idea. The pornography, the bad music, the jokes, nobody knows. They have no idea, do they? No idea at all. You act like a stinking heathen out there, and you think you're pulling something. You ain't pulling nothing. You can't fool God. So laugh it up. Laugh it up on God. Laugh it up. But God's weeping. And God will hold you in derision. Please, I beg you tonight, get right with God. Some, you know, two or three of you guys are as phony as a $3 bill. Your smile and your handshake, you know, and just as phony as a $3 bill. You're no more real than Bill Clinton is. And buddy, that's bad. And you think you're conning me. You think you're conning older people who've lived along and they see right straight through you. Just right straight through you. You live long enough, you can almost read somebody's mind. There's nothing up there, son. There's nothing there. Please, whatever you do, don't reverse it. You got one life to live. When you're going through it, God's on your side. God will take care of the enemies. He'll hold them in derision. But you make sure that you keep going the right path. Keep your eye on that goal. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed. Everyone standing, our heads are bowed.